B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta in the morning.
Let's get to Jordan Hall here, NBC Sports Philadelphia, joining us on the Comcast Business Hotline, Beyond Fast. Jordan, how you doing, buddy?
Mark, doing well. How are you?
I am doing awesome because you know what? The team that you cover is doing phenomenally well. They're 1-0, and that's all I really care about right now, thank goodness. Now, they were shut down for 4 months, so we all know the story there. They came out after one ramp-up game and looked like that against the Bruins. This team's only going to get better.
If you're Flyers fans, I'm not sure you could ask for a better start. You play the best team in the league, and you pretty much run them off the ice. And now you're looking like you can really climb in this round robin. You have the potential to grab the number one seed. You can't go any lower than what you're currently at it for. Flyers fans should be excited. I don't think anyone should be throwing cold water on their excitement.
Absolutely not. And really, a lot of it goes to, like, we just like watching teams that are always held accountable, and that's the word we keep going back to when we talk about Alain Vigneault. But these players look like they were putting in work in the offseason to make sure they were staying in top shape. Other than maybe the first 10 minutes of the game against the Penguins and the warm-up thing, the preseason game, if you will, they look like they are just in top physical condition. Are you seeing that from them as well?
100%. And that goes back to training camp before the season. Alain Vigneault really put an emphasis on conditioning because his system is all about hard on the attack, forechecking, constant north-south type of play. And in order to play that style, you have to be conditioned because if you're not and you're constantly trying to get after the opposition and wear them down, you might wear yourself down. But they really don't wear themselves down because Alain Vigneault put an emphasis on conditioning during training camp before the season. He pushed them really hard in this two-week camp. At the end of practices, they would do about 10 minutes of conditioning, and that's on top of after a really strenuous practice. He has them ready to go. They're in shape, and they've responded to him. He's a veteran coach. He's kind of been there, done that. And they respect his presence. And I think you're seeing both sides get the best of one another.
Jordan, Jamie Lynch here. Obviously, this little round robin kind of top four seeding tournament is important, but at the same time, at the end of things, with no home ice advantage, maybe not. So it's a good time to kind of tinker around with some lineups. Ghost wasn't playing yesterday, but I would expect at some point in these next couple games, he does get some run in. How much tinkering around do you think Alain is going to do with the lines while they're in this round robin, or do you think it's fairly set?
Yeah, it's a tricky spot because, like you said, Jamie, they're trying to improve their seed to number one, but really their sole focus is game one of the first round, which will start August 11th. But I do think they're going to try some things. And I think it might make it a little easier for them now. Michael Raffel left in the third period with an undisclosed issue. It looked like it was like a leg injury. We're not sure of his status, but now they have some time on their side. And if they want to, maybe they, say Raffel's issue is a little serious, but it's not too bad. Then they can maybe sit Raffel these final two round robin games. They can play Joel Farabee, tell Raffel, hey, rest up, be ready for round one. And then same will go for anyone else. But at the same time, you win game one of the round robin, you have a chance to win really a huge, decisive game two, because if you win that, all of a sudden you're in the driver's seat to possibly grab that number one seed. So, but they will try things. I expect Ryan Elliott probably to play game two against the Capitals. Like you said, I think Shane Gostisbehere will absolutely get a game in this round robin. I expect Joel Farabee to see the ice. So they're going to try some things, and their main focus is that game one of the first round. And they trust their reinforcements. They like their depth, so they have no problem utilizing it during this time.
Now, we're all excited, Jordan, speaking with Jordan Hall, NBC Sports Philadelphia. If you had to nitpick, if you really had to nitpick on something, what's something you wanted to see but didn't see, or something you need to see more of?
That's a good question.
I know it's hard because they played awesome. Damn it.
Right. I really was. I was looking for things to kind of critique and say, okay, well, I like this team, but they probably could have done that. But last night really was almost a complete performance. They didn't start extremely well. I thought Nate Thompson, one of their depth guys, I know he scored their second goal, and he's a really good guy to have, 35-year-old veteran who's been to an Eastern Conference final. He's played in a Western Conference final. He's a good guy to have for depth. I didn't think he had the best start to the game, and I thought that was kind of signaled Joel Farabee's arrival. But then he scores a goal and looks better the rest of the way. If anything, I think it's sometimes the starts. Carter Hart really keeps them in games and allows them to kind of get their legs underneath them. And through the year, they had some games where, you know, they didn't really let up the score sheet early on in games. And then they came on in the second period. So maybe, if anything, a start, especially when you're playing some of these best teams, a team like the Lightning that can really jump on you offensively, the Capitals obviously can score a lot of goals. If anything, I would say their starts can be better. But so far, there hasn't been a lot to dislike with the exhibition game and this first round robin game.
Jordan, is there a noticeable difference amongst some of the vets that have been on this team this year compared to years past under Vigneault? Like, does Claude Giroux and Couturier, do they sense that they have more help around them now? Is there a sense of ease under Vigneault? Have they changed from your perspective?
Absolutely. Like, to me, I see a much loosened up Claude Giroux. I see Sean Couturier with less pressure. I see Jacob Voracek having more fun. Because in years past, they really did have a lot on their shoulders. If they weren't producing, the team really wasn't. And if you look at their past two playoff appearances, they got worked pretty well by the Capitals and Penguins, teams that not only had star power, but they had depth. And I think that wore on the players like Claude Giroux. Claude Giroux hasn't really been a productive player of the last two playoff series. That's just a fact. But a lot of that was because there was so much on his shoulders. This team's so much deeper now, and I think they realize that. They've said that. Claude Giroux the other day said this is one of the deeper teams he's been on. Jacob Voracek said in February that he's like, let's be honest, if in years past, if myself, Sean Couturier, or Claude Giroux didn't score, we were probably losing games. Instead, we're winning by about three or four goals now when that happens. Look at the exhibition against the Bruins. Jacob Voracek, Claude Giroux, Sean Couturier, they combined for one assist, and they beat the best team in the league by three goals. That doesn't mean they didn't play well. They had a really tough assignment against that Bruins line, and they really actually outplayed them. But I think that spoke volumes, that they won by three goals, that trio putting up one assist.
Yeah, that's not happening in the past, that's for sure.
Speaking of Jordan Hall, NBC Sports Philly, Jordan, the other thing is, obviously, we look at the Sixers right now. We're very reactionary about the Sixers. Very reactionary on the other end of the spectrum when it comes to the Flyers in terms of positivity right now. How excited should Flyers fans be right now? We know that, especially that shutdown, they were the best team in hockey. They look like they picked up right from where they left off. How excited should Flyers fans be about this team being for real?
They should absolutely be excited. I know the Eastern Conference is deep, and that's the one concern for me, that they could possibly see a team like the Lightning or Bruins in the second round, and then obviously they would probably have to see one of those teams in the Eastern Conference Final. So that would be my one concern. But there's a ton of reason for excitement, especially for a fan base that's been really, really patient. If you look at the past seven seasons, there's been three playoff berths and no series victories, and there's been a lot of stagnancy with the team and the organization. This is a new group. Chuck Fletcher, the general manager, is from outside the organization. Alain Vigneault is from outside the organization. Heck, he came from a division rival. I don't think the Flyers would have done that in the past, where they brought guys in from outside the organization as much, and guys that came from division rivals. Even their assistants. Mike Yeo has won a Stanley Cup with the Pittsburgh Penguins as an assistant. Michelle Therrien was the head coach at the Penguins, took them to a cup final. So these are outsiders. They've tried different things, and it's kind of a new era of Flyers hockey. Alain Vigneault said that from day one of training camp before the season started, the new era. I think they've done a lot of things to make themselves competitive, and they're still really young, and that's what's exciting. They're still really young. The years are set up well for the future, but they're competitive. And, last year they had 82 points in a full 82-game season. This year they had 89. They played 13 fewer games. I think there's absolute reason for excitement. And I think the Flyers fans deserve to be excited. They haven't had much to be excited about, so I don't think anyone should be tempering their expectations.
Awesome. And you mentioned the points, Jordan, and that's what I was going to go to next, because you talk about points and whether or not they're big, you know, 1 point or a big 2 points or, you know, big points, whatever. How big would you say the 2 points were that went up against the Bruins team?
Mark, you and I love to talk about 2 points. They're all big, right?
Oh, absolutely.
All big.
Yeah.
But no, I think the start of the round robin was incredibly important. It really is a period of time where they can evaluate and kind of see where they are and make sure they're healthy and try some different things. But, you know, this is a chance to grab the number one seed and home ice. And home ice might not sound important with no fans, but it means a lot in hockey still because you get the last change.
Right.
And that can go a long way. I thought setting the tone in the round robin, convincing yourself. I know the Flyers believe in themselves, and they really do have a unique chemistry. It's a likable, hardworking group that gets along. But coming out after that long, long pause and then kind of picking it back up, I think they showed themselves, not only fans and everyone around the league, but I think they showed themselves, hey, yeah, we are a good team. We just beat the Bruins by 3 goals, and they were playing everyone other than Tuukka Rask for the most part. So, I thought that was a statement to start the round robin. You're 1-0 in the round robin. You have 2 points, and now you're setting yourself up for less pressure in these next 2 games.
All right. Jordan, thanks so much for coming on with us. Make sure you read Jordan's stuff on NBC Sports Philadelphia. Jordan Hall covering the Flyers. Appreciate you joining us on the Comcast Business Hotline. Beyond Fast. Jordan, thanks, bud.
Thanks so much for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, my man. Appreciate it.
See you, Jordan. Deeper than that, because it was Joel Embiid saying to Brett Brown, what the hell are you giving me?
That's exactly what he's doing.
And I agree with Joel's overall sentiment,
but he handled it like a diva. But you're still saying
he gave up on 2 plays.
But you're saying still start shake.
You have to. See, you just spent 4.5 months planning for this. You can't abandon it after 2 bad quarters.
You want your cake and you want to eat it too. That's the problem. Yeah. I mean, it's like you want this perfect scenario where Joel can be pissed off, but only in the right way. Because God forbid
you can't show
God
up
forbid,
your teammates
God
on the court.
We show up, shake freaking Milton.
It's not about that.
You can't,
as a leader of the team, show up your teammates
as
like
Mark
that.
Said, who the hell is Shake Milton?
But hold on.
Leader as in best player.
Yes, that's the thing. He's not a leader. And Ben Simmons
And
Ben Simmons is not a leader.
No.
So I'm not all of a sudden going to say, hey, guys, go be the leader when I know they're not the leader.
You lead by example. That's what I mean, because he's your superstar player.
The leader of the, it goes without saying, the leader of this team is Tobias Harris. That's the end all be all. There's not even a conversation. If you're talking about best player, the best player is not always the leader.
No, not like always.
We'd like to see that matchup, but that's not how it happens. If Joel Embiid feels that comfortable, to look at Shake Milton and brush him off like he's nothing, and as you saw it, throw a ball at his face and then yell at him on the sideline and then yell at him in the game and give up on a play, that means that the head coach has no jurisdiction over this team, no authority over this team.
He looked at Brett Brown and was like, really, bro?
This is what you're giving me? I'm getting tested like 18 times a day for COVID. I'm getting swabbed up my nostril 18 times a day for this so that I can play with Shake Milton in my starting five?
So Joel's going to act like that in the first game back?
There's 8 games for better seating.
Yeah.
There's 8 games. He knows that these games count. Like, this isn't exhibition time.
No.
You know what? Maybe, JoJo, play with the guy a little bit more. Maybe try to muscle up and play in the third preseason game, quote unquote. Now, I'm not saying that's an end-all, be-all for him, but I look at Shake Milton and I go, this guy's in over his head. He broke the golden rule. If you're given an opportunity for great success, which he was, here's a starting five spot. I'm moving my all-star point guard to power forward for Shake Milton.
Yeah, that's a lot of pressure.
Here's the ball, kid. Go get it.
Brett Brown,
he turtles up.
It's bad. Look, I'm not trying to defend Shake here at all. I just thought Joel Embiid handled it like a child. I really did. When you're showing up your teammates on the field of play, that's an issue to me. You can show up your teammate on the sideline. You can get in his ass. You can tell him, I'm going to slap the bleep out of you on the sideline. Uh-huh. When you're doing it in play and you're affecting a guy that's already drowning out there, you're making matters worse.
Well, in fairness, he did tell him that he would slap the bleep out of him on the sideline.
Yes, he did. But who knows what he said to him on the court, because it was so bad that Shake Milton
God,
had...
it was probably way worse.
Shake Milton turned, with the ball in his hand, turned around to argue with him. Think about that.
Yeah, because he's so mentally weak.
Well, maybe, but he still deserves more than one game.
Graf has his own Twitter poll going here. Who's right? Embiid was a jerk, Jamie, or Shake was soft, Pat. So you can vote on that on Graf's...
Shake's going to run away with it. Because it's easy to blame Shake.
Yes, of course. Let's start making excuses.
Who's got more accountability to this team's overall success?
Joel Embiid,
yeah.
Okay.
Well, I don't...
Shake's an easy target.
Because he played horrible.
I'm not defending that.
Honestly, that was a process-esque level performance.
Yes.
It was that bad.
This is still Shake Milton, who couldn't lead the summer league team 2 years ago. And I have some confidence in the kid, but...
But the same Shake Milton...
starting five!
Yeah, that you,
I'm
you
aware!
Yourself. Yeah, I
well, then fire Brett Brown today. Because this was his mastermind plan for 4 months. You can't abandon him now.
Thank you.
That's fine. I don't care. Look, you think I care?
Look at us coming to an agreement.
Look at you guys. See, it was all that. It was a, you're a child. And now you guys are on the same
page. Fire press.
Who would have thought?
When we when we come back, we'll get Rich Hoffman on these totally mild-mannered takes. Time for the Fanatic 853.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.